Hello, everyone. Steve Siebold back with MentalToughnessBlog.com. Well, now that Andre Agassi is all over the news again, cover of People magazine, on David Letterman the other night, talking about his new book, Open, where he reveals that he used crystal meth during his playing days for a while and hated tennis and talks about his marriage with Brooke Shields and all these things. Now I feel like it's finally appropriate to talk about a secret conversation I actually had with Andre a number of years ago in a little sports bar in Bradenton, Florida called the Scoreboard Sports Pub. And because he's revealed this in the book, I feel like it's not out of school to talk about this. And I've got a purpose for doing this beyond just telling you, because I think it makes a great point in terms of mental toughness. About 20 years ago, I was on a small group of people that trained Andre as he was coming up in the pros. I was actually leaving the pro circuit, and he was actually coming on it, and just an amazing, amazing talent. Well, here was the problem. You couldn't get Andre to practice. Andre didn't want to practice. Andre liked to sleep until noon, and he liked to practice, believe it or not, from 2 to 5 in the morning. So we actually rigged up a court so he could do that with lights and whatnot. And it's a whole story, but the bottom line is, here was a guy that had more talent with a tennis racket than anyone I'd ever seen in my life. And I'd played against some of the best players in the world, some of the best players of all time, Bjorn Borg, Rod Laver, Ken Rosewall, Colin Dibley, Froome McMillan. I mean, it just goes on and on. And I'd never seen anyone do with the tennis racket what Andre Agassi could do. So a couple years after that, I was down there at the Scoreboard Sports Pub. I walked in, little tiny little hole-in-the-wall place, maybe could seat 20 people. No one's there except Andre, and he's sitting there having a beer by himself. And when back in the days when he could actually do that. He was famous, but not as famous as he is today. The owner was in the back by the kitchen, so he really wasn't an earshot of our conversation. I sat down with Andre and I said, "You know what, Andre, I don't get it. You're the most gifted tennis player I've ever seen in my life. And you're not putting the time in. And if you did put the time in, undoubtedly, in my mind, you could be the greatest tennis player that ever walked the face of the earth." And I'll never forget it. He just looked at me. He just looked across this little table we were sitting at with this blank face. And he said, "Steve, I could care less about that." And I said, "How could you care less about it? The greatest player in the history of tennis? Do you realize what you're sitting on? Do you realize what you're looking at here?" And he says, "I don't care. I don't care. I don't even like tennis. I don't care. I don't want to be the greatest player of all time, and that's why I don't put the time in, and I don't even like playing." And I walked away from that just pretty bewildered, because maybe because I'd spent my whole life trying to get where this guy could get without even half trying. I don't know if that was it or not. But it bugged me for a lot of years, and of course, in the press, he never talked like that, and I never said anything about it. I'm sure he said it to other people besides me. But I always thought about that, and I thought, you know what? I wonder how many of us, in not just tennis, but in life, are chasing dreams or visions or goals that have been set by other people. So I'll ask you to ask yourself this critical thinking question. Are you chasing your own desires? Are you chasing your own dreams? Are you chasing someone else's? I believe at that time, Andre was chasing his father's dream. Now, granted, he was making millions of dollars doing it, so it probably would be a tough thing to give up. And he could practice half the time as everyone else and still make a fortune doing it. This is a guy that got a $100 million contract with Nike. You know, some unbelievable things. This guy is worth, you know, probably a couple hundred million dollars today. It's just an amazing success story. But that being said, and the money aside, he hated it. He didn't want it. He was chasing someone else's dream. And the guy, for as nice of a guy as he is, he did seem like he was unhappy. I was going to say miserable. That might be overshooting it. But I certainly think it's safe to say that he was unhappy. And now that this book is out, of course, he was unhappy. And I didn't push it any farther than that. And I saw him maybe three times after that in the last 15 years. And most of the time, of course, just on television. But I never had the conversation with him again. But it's made me think, especially working with companies and in the mental toughness process and with so many great performers all over the world, how many of us are chasing someone else's dream? So my question for you is, your critical thinking question here for today's post is, are you chasing your own dream? Are you sure? Are you sure it's what you really want? Not your family, not your wife, not your kids, not your mom, not your dad, not your sisters, not your brothers, but you, not society, you. Are you really going after what you want? Not someone else, but you, just you and you alone. Obviously, if you're not, there's a problem. There's an energy problem. You've got energy going toward the wrong direction, and it's going to cost you. Now, I imagine most of the people on this blog are probably well aware of this concept, but I don't think it ever hurts, because it's basic, and I get that. But I don't think it ever hurts for all of us, even people that listen to this blog, and you know, we go back and forth in the comments, and I always appreciate everyone's feedback. I think it's important that we go back to basics. I got to tell you, as a tennis player, we used to go back to basics every other practice. Forehand, backhand serve, volley, service return, approach shot, overhead. You go back to the basics and you get really good at the basics. And I think mental toughness and critical thinking is much the same. We got to stay tight with the basics. So here's basic number one. Is your vision your vision or someone else's? Something to think about. I look forward to your comments on this. As always, thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Siebold.